Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. Other than his famously brilliant call on the housing crisis that inspired a generation of short sellers and even a Hollywood blockbuster, Michael Burry is well known for something else, being a permabear. Or as the typical, and in this case exaggerated, joke goes, having successfully predicted 32 of the last 3 recessions. If you keep shouting that things will go down, then eventually you'll be right about something. Ever heard that saying, a broken clock is right twice a day? Look, public predictions are not a fun game. Scion Asset Management's underlying performance is actually much better than Burry's online rhetoric would suggest, which makes it all the more curious that he has decided to shut down his hedge fund. Given Burry's online reputation for getting things wrong since 2007 more often than getting things right, critics were quick to point out that it must be because of underperformance. And it didn't help matters that in the letter to investors regarding the closure of his fund, Burry noted that his estimation of value in securities is not now, and has not been for some time, in sync with the markets. Interesting. Now, the data does not give such a clear-cut answer. As with most actively managed funds, and especially hedge funds, the outperformance or underperformance versus the S&P 500 is going to depend entirely on which time frame you use. The gulf in quality between the fund's performance and his online predictions is primarily because of the overwhelmingly bearish nature of his public calls. It hasn't exactly been rewarding to be bearish in a global macroeconomic environment that has been driven by governments running their fiscal balance sheets as hot as possible. If you have a debt problem, inflating your debt away is a popular strategy. Austerity doesn't win you many friends at the polls, certainly not compared to loose monetary policies and quantitative easing. Low interest rates are what the people want to see, and politicians are very good at giving the people near-term wins despite long-term pain. Predicting gigantic crashes means betting against governments and their ability to keep printing money to get out of dark holes. Governments can't put them off forever, but they can kick the can down the road for a long time. But as events in the past week have proven, Burry actually had bigger plans than just disappearing quietly into the history books. For someone who claims to not be in sync with the markets, he has some rather strong opinions on AI. Burry is now writing a Substack called Cassandra Unchained. The name Cassandra comes from Warren Buffett, who gave Burry this name in reference to the Greek mythology priestess who was cursed to utter true prophecies but never to be believed. How poetic. He's used the name Cassandra on X many times, even if he's had a tumultuous relationship with the online audience. He certainly wears the nickname given to him by Buffett with pride, as he should. Burry has adopted Cassandra Unchained as the current name of his profile on X, where he has 1.6 million followers. Oh, and in case you're wondering, he doesn't follow any other accounts. Zero, zippo, none. This is so typical of his personality and public persona. Now, when you have 1.6 million followers, you can get a newsletter off the ground pretty quickly. Cassandra Unchained is barely a week old, and it has over 104,000 subscribers. Now, not all of these will be paid subscribers, but there's not much that you can get without going behind the paywall. At $379 annually, or $39 a month, his writing is not cheaply accessible either. Burry is very wealthy, so he doesn't actually need the money from this Substack. Instead, he's using it for a personal crusade against the AI industry, which he believes is ready for a dot-com bubble event. There are two companies firmly in his crosshairs, Nvidia and Palantir. If you're going to go after the AI industry, then those are pretty obvious choices, literally the biggest and the wackiest. It's worth pointing out that Nvidia's valuation is at least grounded in some form of reality, as recent performance has been exceptional and the company is generating extraordinary amounts of cash. Nvidia is trading on a price-sales multiple of 23x, which sounds incredibly high until you look at the profit margins in that business. The PE multiple is actually 43x, still demanding, but nowhere near as ridiculous as some of the names we are seeing out there. This brings us neatly to Palantir, a company whose business and valuation are as mystical as the Seeing Stone in Lord of the Rings after which the company is named. Palantir is on a rather ridiculous price-to-sales multiple of 94x, having been as high as 142x recently. It gets worse rather than better when you look at the PE multiple, currently on a mind-boggling 390x. Burry holds put options on both. If you buy puts, it means that you're taking a bet on the stock going down in a big way. It needs to drop by enough to offset the cost of the premium on the options. This means that he is highly incentivized to help those stock prices fall off the sides of a cliff. This pits him against Jensen Huang at NVIDIA, a measured executive who will be careful with public commentary, as well as Alex Karp at Palantir, a firebrand CEO who isn't shy of accusing short sellers of market manipulation. The stage is set. Importantly, Burry's arguments are not that the companies are frauds like Enron. Instead, his argument is that we are in a Cisco Systems situation instead. Back in early 2000, Cisco was the most valuable company in the world. It was the shovel in the internet gold rush, something that might sound familiar to you, and the share price went crazy in the run-up to the dot-com bubble popping. Both the company and the market had severely overestimated future demand, specifically near-term demand for internet-related products, leading to a catastrophic drop in the share price. Only now is the stock finally trading at similar levels to the dot-com peak, a casual 25 years later. Now, if you look at the recent reporting from the likes of NVIDIA and certainly Oracle as well, then you'll see plenty of references to the important shift from training of models through to inference. Or put differently, it's time for this very fancy race car to be put on the track to see how it actually performs. Eye-watering sums of money have been invested in building out data centers and creating the models. If the use cases turn out to be a disappointment though, then we could well find ourselves in a Cisco-like situation. Burry has also focused on other arguments, including the depreciation cycle of the GPUs and even the true cost of stock-based compensation. The former is an interesting argument, while the latter is really no surprise to anyone who has followed US tech stocks in any detail. US companies love paying their staff with shares, then reporting adjusted EBITDA as a measure of profitability excluding the stock-based expenses, and then using share buybacks to repurchase shares to offset the dilution of the stock issuances to staff. Like magic, both profitability and free cash flow look good in that situation, even though the economics are no different to just paying staff cash bonuses instead of giving them stock and then buying it back in the market either from them or just someone else. That's a symptom of the broader tech sector though, so those kind of arguments are unlikely to pop the AI bubble. There are far stronger arguments to be made around topics like the investment by NVIDIA in OpenAI, where it looks a lot like NVIDIA is funding its own demand. And as mentioned, we find ourselves at a critical point in the AI journey where the usefulness of these models actually needs to be proven, and that's the Cisco argument. I don't know about you, but my experiences with AI models genuinely seem to be getting worse rather than better, and this is just one of the concerns out there. Because you see, there is one big difference between the current environment and what we saw in the build-up to the subprime crisis in 2007. The world is already debating the AI bubble and looking for a reason for it to pop. In 2007, the banking issues weren't as obvious as the AI risks are today. This time round, Burry is fueling the fire, not trying to start it. And of course, there's one other thing. Burry wasn't famous back when he was trying to lift the lid on subprime. But today, he can start a Substack and be all over the headlines in the space of a week, even earning himself an official response from NVIDIA that he called a strawman argument that almost reads like a hoax. Buckle up, kids. It might get very, very bumpy. The market is looking for a reason for this AI bubble to pop. Will that reason be Cassandra Unchained? Maybe, maybe not. But either way, it is looking really, really risky. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.